Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge, text number 5. Echamatsthani bhutani paishame yogam aishvaryam buddha brinnata buddhasto mamatma buddha bhavanaha na never. Cha, also, matstani, situated in me. Bhutani, all creation. Paisha, just see. Me, my. Yogam Aishvaryam, inconceivable mystic power. Bhuta Brit, the maintainer of all living entities. Cha, never. Cha, also. Buddha sta, in the cosmic manifestation. Mama, my. Atma, self. Buddha bhavanaha, the source of all manifestations. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not part of this cosmic manifestation, for myself is the very source of creation. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities and although I am everywhere, I am not part of this cosmic manifestation. Myself is the very source of creation. Purport. The Lord says that everything is resting on Him. Matstani sarabhutani. This should not be misunderstood. The Lord is not directly concerned with the maintenance and sustenance of the material manifestation. Sometimes we see a picture of Atlas holding the globe on his shoulders. He seems to be very tired, holding this great earthly planet. Such an image should not be entertained in connection with Krishna's of holding this created universe. He says that although everything is resting on him, he is aloof. The planetary systems are floating in space, and space is the energy of the Supreme Lord. But he is different from space. He is differently situated. Therefore, the Lord says that although they are situated on my inconceivable energy, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am aloof from them. This is the inconceivable opulence of the Lord. In the Nirukti Vedic Dictionary, it said, Yujite neha dorgate shu kar yeshu. Supreme Lord is performing inconceivably wonderful pastimes, displaying His energy. His person is full of different potent energies, His determination is itself actual fact. This way the personality of God has to be understood. One may think of doing something, but there are so many impediments, and sometimes it is not possible to do as we like. But when Krishna wants to do something simply by His willing, everything is performed so perfectly that one cannot imagine how it is being done. The Lord explains this fact. Although He is maintainer and sustainer of the entire material manifestation, He does not touch this material manifestation. Simply by His supreme will, everything is created, everything is sustained, everything is maintained, and everything is annihilated. There is no difference between His mind and Himself, as there is a difference between ourselves and our present material mind, because He is absolute spirit. Simultaneously, the Lord is present in everything, yet the common man can understand how He is also present personally. He is different from this material manifestation, yet everything is resting on Him. This is explained here as Yogam Aishvaryam, the mystic power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Najamasthani bhutani paishame yogam aishvaryam bhutabhrinnacha bhutasto mamabhutabhavanaha. And everything is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, though I am everywhere, I am not part of this cosmic manifestation. myself as the very source of creation. What's inconceivable is the fact that Krishna could be everywhere and yet not part of the material energy. But then again, we're also everywhere in this body, and yet we're not part of the body. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, anadivam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyam shariyastopikuntaya nakaroti nanalipite. Those who can see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is eternal, transcendental, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he entangled. So that's conscious, that's awareness. And that's when we come to that awareness, that's a sign of our liberation. When Arjuna asks Krishna, what is the symptoms of a person who has transcended the modes of nature? The 14th chapter. Stita Pragya, no. Kerlinga stringunane tan atita bhavati prabhu kimacharya gatamschaiva trim gunan ativartite. Arjuna inquired, my dear Lord, what are the symptoms of one who is transcendental? Do you want to know the verse? It's 14:21. Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, by what symptoms is one known to be transcendental to all these three modes? What is his behavior and how does he transcend the modes of nature? So Krishna answers, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Prakasham cha, Pravitim cha, Moham eva chapandava, Nidveshti sampratitani, Ninivritani kangshiti, Udasinadvarasino, Gunayo na vichalyate. Kunavarantanti itjeva yovatishtate nengate samadukha sukha swasta samalostras makankshana tulya priya priya diras tulya mitrari pakshaya samstuti manapamanayo diras tulya mitrari pakshayo savaramba prityagi gudati taksu uchite. Supreme Personality of God has said, Son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment, delusion when they are present, nor longs for them when they disappear, remains, who is unwavering and disturbed throughout all the reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self, who regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal towards the desirable and the undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who renounces all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. So in other words, if we examine the first part, one who does not hate illumination, which is the mode of goodness, attachment, the mode of passion, or delusion, the mode of ignorance, when they're present. No logs for them when they're absent. Who is unwavering and disturbed through all the reactions of the material qualities. In other words, actually nothing is happening to us, but because we have consciousness, which pervades the body, we experience what's happening to the body if that's what we're paying attention to. Because when we're not paying attention to the body, we're not even aware of what's happening in the body. For instance, if you have a toothache and it's very painful, but then your favorite sports game is there, and you can't miss it. So you're watching it, you forget all about the toothache and the excitement of the sport game. Soccer game here, I guess here. And then after the game's over, especially if your team lost, then the tooth comes back twice as painful as before. So it's the question, where we put our consciousness. One who puts his consciousness upon Krishna, then he gradually becomes detached from his consciousness of the external and subtle material body. And one who has achieved the perfection of that, he doesn't really care so much. He's not attached to whether there's illumination, attachment, delusion. When they're present, all longs for them. When they're absent, remains unwavering, knowing that the modes of nature alone are active and that he's aloof from them. So if we can do that, imagine Krishna. Krishna is aware of everything that's going on in the material world, but he's not attached to it. He's aware, but he's aloof. And because he's aware, therefore he can sense our desires, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. So Krishna can understand what we're desiring and therefore award us what we deserve through the material nature. But still, this is emphasized, naiva kinchit kromiti yuktamanyate tatvavit pashan srindan srishan jigran ashnanga chansvapan svasan Palavandrishijan Grinan, Umishani Mishanapi, Indriarani Arte Shu, Vartanda Iti Daryan. So you can translate that? It's chapter 5, text number 8-9. Naiva Kinchit Karo Miti. Na Eva, not at any time, Karo Miti. Na Kinchit means at any time. So, person of the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, breathing, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he does nothing at all. Because while evacuating, receiving, and opening and closing his eyes, he knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. So that's the platform that one comes to when one is actually preliminarily Krishna conscious, because of course this is not taking into account that one is thinking about Krishna. Payas parcheva saktatma vindyanyatminiyat sukham sri brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshnayam ashnute. That's also the fifth chapter. That's in the text number 21. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always entranced, enjoying the pleasure within. This way the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. So the idea is that Krishna is full of pleasure. He's a reservoir of unlimited pleasure. His body is concentrated pleasure, bliss, and love. And one who concentrates on him, then one is not attracted to identify oneself with the gross and subtle material bodies and therefore become entangled with desires in relationship to the gross and subtle bodies. Now one who is Krishna conscious, they're still conscious of their gross and subtle bodies, but they're not attracted by the desires to serve the gross and subtle material bodies. They may be, under certain circumstances, aware of the dualities of the material existence, although we can understand that an actually very advanced devotee, he's not even aware of the material existence. But one may be Krishna conscious, and at the same time, or to a large extent, be aware of what the body is experiencing. But that doesn't mean that one is caught up in the desires to serve the gross and subtle body. So there's a difference between being aware of the body with the idea of serving the body and being aware of the body while one is serving Krishna. Now Krishna himself pervades the entire universe, all the universes, and is aware of everything, but he's not attached to serving the material energy. The material energy, on the other hand, is serving him. But when we come to the material world, we become attached to serving our material conception of life due to the false ego, and we imagine that we're engaged in some kind of play or drama that's going on. We're the central hero or the heroine. Even William Shakespeare said that. Remember Shakespeare? You know that part where he said that? All the world's a stage. Remember that? And everyone has their everyone has their part. Everyone has their entrance and their exits, and in their life, one plays many different roles. So that's what's happening. We have this present body and the present role, and we think, I'm the doer, I'm doing so many different things, I'm saving so many people, I'm defeating so many people, I'm doing so many wonderful things, but actually we're not doing anything at all. We're observing, and when we get caught up in material desires, then we actually believe that we're going through all these different things. And we miss the opportunity to remember Krishna and to utilize this body for Krishna service. When we use it for Krishna service, then gradually our misidentification when the material body goes away, the more we become interested and pleased in Krishna, then the more Krishna reveals himself to us and the less we identify ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies. And when one is waking up, when one awakes to one's real identity, then there's no attachment to this gross and subtle bodies anymore. Any more than when we wake up from a dream, we're attached to the dream. So the idea is to wake up through the chanting of the holy names especially. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Maharaj, here similarly it's explained that Krishna is everywhere. I read today about the Viratrupa of Krishna. And Prabhupada explains in commentaries that this is material form of Krishna. Can you explain more about this? How is this material?
Let's call it his material energy, which is a transformation of Brahman.
Sorry? The transformation of Brahman, which?
Krishna's effulgence. You know, Krishna has his effulgence. That's called Brahman. And the material nature that we're in is a transformation of it. It goes through things like pradhan and into the false ego. From the false ego is manifested the mind, of the senses and the mind and everything else. Modes of nature, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So from the Mahatattva comes... From pradhan comes mahatattva. Pradhan is a transformation of Brahman. Krishna's effulgence comes into Brahman. From pradhan comes mahatattva. Mahatattva comes the false ego. And the false ego precedes the subtle elements and the gross elements. So that's what's going on here is Krishna's manifesting this universe through his energies. We fill our desires and what we deserve. So that's called Viratrupa.
What about these forms that Krishna showed Arjuna, like fire throughout the
mouth? There's so many forms. Krishna's, we can't conceive of what's actually going on. This gives us a little idea some of the things that are going on. Krishna says, Sarvata Padi Padam Tat, Sarvata Shri Shuro Mukham, Sarvata Shruti Mahaloke, Sarvata Vritti Tishtite. Everywhere is hands and legs, is eyes and faces. He exists everywhere. This way the Super Soul exists everywhere, pervading everything. So what we think is our hands and our eyes, these are all Krishna's. It's also part of the universal form. We're simply renting the body. Krishna's a proprietor.
It's meant human bodies and these eyes, not just...
Everything. The animal body. They're all Krishna's body. Because he's a proprietor, so it actually really belongs to him. He's controlling the whole thing. So it's all his.
Can I have one more question?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You get a bonus.
Prabhupada also explains that to atheist, to bring closer the aspect of God, first should be explained this Viratrupa of Krishna.
The what?
The Viratrupa.
Viratrupa.
Yes. This cosmic manifestation of Lord.
Yeah. Universal form.
But I haven't heard devotees preaching to me like that, like explaining this Viratrupa.
No, about the Viratrupa.
In Bhagavad
Gita. Read Bhagavad Gita. We're not interested in how many, you know, as Arjuna says in the 11th chapter, that everywhere is his hand. What was it? Aneka Vatranayanam, Aneka Buddha Darshanam. Aneka Divya Varanam, Divya Nekodhidhayudam, Diva Malambalam Dharam, Diva Gandharam Lepanam, Sarvashayamayam Devam, Ananta Vishvatam Mukham. Arjuna, so in that universal form, unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful visions, the form was decorated with celestial ornaments and bore many divine upraised weapons. He wore celestial garments. Garlands and garments and many divine scents were smeared over his body. Always wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, all expanding. This won't help us very much. I mean, it's nice to meditate, probably, like, especially the 11th chapter, to meditate on. But we're finding out how the material nature works so we can avoid falling into Maya. That's finding out about the universe, about Krishna's pastimes in the external energy specifically. Says in the second chapter. For the neophyte devotee, it's more important to find out about Krishna's pastimes in the external energy than his pastimes in the internal energy. Because we have more opportunity to, we're working in the external energy, apparently, external energy. And therefore, it's more important for us to understand how this material energy works, how it binds and how it gives liberation, as it says in the 14th chapter. And find out about Krishna's pastimes in the internal energy, which until we become expert at dealing with the external energy, we won't have so much access to the internal energy.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.